are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When you show love, it doesn't just stay with the recipient. It spreads like a stone hitting a pond and sending ripples outward. And these ripples may reach people you never expected, creating a wave of positivity. And so in this morning's conversation, let's dive into how our acts of love can transcend boundaries and create a greater sense of unity. We're going to be connecting with Pastor Rangarirai Matache to speak to us about the ripple effects of small acts of love. And we're focusing specifically on that ripple effect today. And I'd love to hear your own experiences with this. Is there anything maybe that you have done in your life that had a long-term ripple effect, and maybe years down the line you were able to see what that one act of kindness actually brought about? Or maybe you were on the receiving side. Maybe you were on the receiving end of this. Someone did something kind for somebody, someone somewhere that you never met, but the acts that of that person then rippled over until you were able to experience that. We're just trying to connect with the pastor now so we can have this conversation. But the first thing that comes to my mind would be something as simple as sharing the gospel with someone, and then that person becoming, you know, that person being converted and coming to Christianity, and then that impacts their family, and then their family, their children's children, and their children's children's children, and it keeps going on and on. That's the easiest example that I can think of, but there's so many different ways that our acts of kindness can have that ripple effect. I believe we have the pastor on the line now. My pastor, good morning.
Good morning, Bongan. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I am much better.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us once again. I'm looking forward to this conversation that we're having today. As always, let's start with a word of prayer before we get into it.
Yes, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for yet another episode that you have given us and a chance to be on this beautiful planet, to be exhibit exemplary people that will share love to your people, that people may see us and they see you in us. We are so thankful for this opportunity that you've given us. We are grateful for the channel that you have chosen to usher in love and messages of hope to a dying world where everything is almost negative. And we thank you for the sister that is conducting this program. And we thank you for all the listeners that have managed to tune in. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. So let's talk about this. How do we see love spreading out in ways that maybe we might not be immediately aware of? What is that ripple effect that we're talking about?
The ripple effect of love that spreads beyond us. Let me use the biblical example, 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you read the story, it starts with David being a fugitive. He was being hunted by Saul. Mm-hmm. And Saul wanted to eliminate him because David had been anointed and chosen by God in the place of Saul. And during his time, as he was running around, running away from Saul, trying to escape, guess who helps him? Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan, because his love for David, he gives him inside information. Today, they are going to look for you at this place. Please, if you're in this place, run, go and hide this place. And Jonathan helps him because he loves him. Because the two have this love for each other.
Yeah.
Now, how does this culminate? It's a love story between two friends who help each other to survive.
Yeah.
But even long after Jonathan is gone, when David finally becomes a king, that's where 2 Samuel comes in place. David, the first thing he does, he says, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I can extend mercy to because of Jonathan? Mm. And on verse 7, David goes to pick Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. So the love that David received from Jonathan, he extended it to Jonathan's family, to Jonathan's posterity, long after Jonathan had died.
Mm-hmm.
So even to us today,
yeah,
we may do random acts of kindness, and we think they meant nothing.
Yeah.
We don't see how it's going to benefit today. We might not see it today. We might even die before we see the results, but somebody else will come and benefit because of the seeds that we would have planted.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But in this world, you know, there's so much selfishness that it's like the culture of the world. It's the culture that we're all born into. So how can we be more intentional about making the most of the opportunities that we're given to send love out into the world?
Yeah, that's so true. We are living in a world that is lots of toxic environments, toxic talks, mm-hmm. toxic social medias, and a lot of people who are grumbling and saying their own experiences as if that's the viewpoint of the whole world. So how can we change the narrative? First, those who have benefited from random acts of love should come forward and testify and say, you know, I was in this situation. On social media, I was saying this to one of my friends. You will go on social media and you will hear all this negative talk about women, or negative talk about men, or negative talk about marriage. And we hardly have people who come on those same social media platforms and say positive things about marriage and say, you know, I am actually enjoying. We don't have people who are saying those things. So when we decide to be intentional, we must make sure whatever we do, whatever we benefit from, we let others know. We should not only always paint a bleak picture, you know. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light shine, others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So what people need right now, they need, excuse me for the background noise, but soon it will be gone. What people need more, okay, what people need more in this world, they need people who will be exemplary, people who do not just talk about etiquette, good morals, but people who actually do. When people see that, they have referral points, they have something to hold on and say, I met someone. That person was a stranger to me, but what they did, I believe they are good people on earth. That changes the narrative.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And do you think love has the power to heal even deep divisions between people and communities? These acts that we do for one another, if we are intentional, are they good enough to heal those deep divisions? There's so many different divisions, whether it is between genders, between tribes and cultures, races. There's so much pain in people's hearts for different reasons. Can these acts of love actually heal those? Or is it just, you know, it's nice to do, but it doesn't really have that much of an impact?
Yes, that's a beautiful question. I was reflecting this morning about the champion of love, who happens to be Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you look at his profile, he didn't have a university degree. He didn't have an army that was highly trained. He didn't have snipers.
Yeah.
He didn't have a cabinet. He didn't have money. He didn't have international influence. And yet he moved the world in a way that no other has done. And what is it that he used? If he didn't use weapons, if he didn't use knowledge, if he didn't use acquired wisdom, what is it that he used? If he didn't use money, if he didn't use status or influence, he used love. You see, he used love. By love, Christ conquered the world. He did not even retaliate to those who were even cruel to him. He showed mercy and compassion. Even when he was dying and people were spitting on him and saying all sorts of things, he prayed for those for those people, for them to be forgiven. So love is a potential to heal divisions, genuine potential. Let me give you a practical example of something that happened when we were in high school. Me and my friends, we fell out. We were staying together. We were learning far from home. So we had to go and lodge somewhere near the school, and then we were staying together, and we had to make contributions for food and stuff. And somehow we fell out of each other because some people were no longer contributing and what, and people started talking bad about each other. And we did all sorts of things, and we were brothers from the same church. And one elder from the church, who happened to be one of our teachers at school, came. We had reached the point of no return, like we don't talk to each other anymore. We don't want to see each other. We were so bitter about each other. And he came. And this is how he did to reconcile us. He said, when he came, everyone was ready to defend themselves and to give their version of the story and how bad the other was. And he said, hold on. I want you, he started with me, I want you to say all the good things that this guy has done for you. Just mention the good things that he has done for you. You know? And for a moment I paused because I was thinking, really? After all, I'm mad with this guy. You know, but the teacher had requested me to write a list of the good things that he did for me. And I thought back, he's the one who gave me accommodation. He helped me to fit in because he was at a higher grade. And I started saying all those good things that this guy did for me and the good things that he did for me. The more I was speaking, the more I realized how I wronged this brother. And when I was done, he asked the brother to say the good things that I did to him. And he started saying, before he finished, both of us were even crying and we hugged each other. And we apologized to each other genuinely. What did he use to fix our problems? He used love. He said, appreciate what others have done for you. Most of the time when we fall out, when there are divisions, we look for the reasons why others have caused us to act the way we have acted. Instead, we should look for common ground. Sometimes the things that causes divisions, you will realize that we need the same thing, but we do not agree on the way in which we should achieve this. If churches can fight and divide and people can speak bad about each other, ask each group, what is it that you want to achieve? You see, they want to go to heaven. They want to be good Christians. And yet they are fighting. They don't. So we must try one, look for common ground. Yes. Two, be willing to forgive. Three, be mindful of other people's needs. Four, try to understand others, not to be understood. That's our problem. We speak with people in a bid of wanting, they should hear me. They should hear me out. I want to give them a piece of my mind. Have you tried to understand what are they saying? Why are they saying this? Look for the motives. Sometimes words may be said that do not represent the true reflection of what people intended to say. So the other example that I gave you, the David and Jonathan story, there was a fallout between the house of David and the house of Saul. But Jonathan used love to heal that broken gap. Long after Saul and Jonathan were gone, the house of David and the house of Saul reconciled. That is David and Mephibosheth. So love can also heal us.
That's beautiful. That's powerful. Now, and how does that love create a stronger sense of community and connection, especially in those times of division and separation and, you know, just misunderstandings?
Yes. So in the times of separation and misunderstandings, what we need to do so that we must use love. If a person knows we may disagree with a brother. It doesn't mean we should be bootlickers and we accept everything. No.
Sure.
We have different preferences. Let me put it that way. We are disagreeing. If we disagree, but we do it respectfully, if I'm disagreeing with a person, but I show that person that I respect, I value you, I love you, that changes the narrative.
Yeah.
If people, let me give an example of the alphabet community, the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are in this situation right now as we speak.
Yeah.
And the approach that is used by some ministers have driven these people far away from God, and they don't want to hear anything about church because of how church views them and addresses their issues.
Mm.
I want you to understand, we are not saying the church must compromise and accept that which the Bible condemns.
Right.
But we are saying, let us be mindful. Let us try to understand someone's world. What is this that is happening to them? How do they feel? How best can we help? If we show that we care about these people and we are not condemning them, that's how we win them. You know, Jesus and the woman that was about to be stoned by the Jews, and Jesus had to write down, he said, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone.
Mm.
So what was Jesus' approach? He says, where are they that were condemning you? When the woman saw that they were gone, Jesus said, nay, that do I condemn you. But Jesus not condemning, was he condoning sin? No. He says, go and sin no more. By just knowing that this person loves me so much and he saved my life, if the LGBT community can know that there is a church that cares, that actually seek to understand what it is that we are struggling with, if we use love, we will win. But if we look for areas that will divide us further, the gospel will lose. We will lose. So we must look for common areas where we agree.
Right.
Common ground.
Yeah.
If we also understand they are battling with this thing the same way we're battling with sin, they also need the blood of Jesus the same way we need. We are not in the judgmental mode. But we are in the understanding mode and try to understand what is it that they are saying. Most of the times we speak past each other instead of speaking to each other.
It's true. And I think what you're saying is so important, that because unfortunately a lot of us have the idea that to understand someone's position is to condone someone's position. And I really love that example of Jesus Christ. He didn't condone her sin, but he did approach her with love.
He didn't condemn her either.
That's a beautiful, beautiful example. Yeah. And then that goes on and on. Because like I said, we talked about this earlier on in the week, the fact that the acts of love and kindness have a ripple effect, but even the acts of cruelty and, you know, that mean spirit, it also has a ripple effect. So like you're saying, if we approach these people with condemnation and just anger, whether it is the LGBTQ community or anybody else that, you know, whose lifestyle or whoever's struggle is something that is not in line with our principles and beliefs, if we approach them with condemnation, that has a ripple effect, because then they find acceptance elsewhere. And that else could be telling them that, no, it's fine. You know, you don't have to change. This is who you are. Just, you know, it's fine. And they find comfort in that. And then we've lost someone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, as we conclude, can a single act of love truly inspire others to spread kindness as well? Does it really, really push other people or encourage other people to continue that act of kindness, to pay it forward, one might say?
Yes. So though we might not see the results yet, sometimes we'll see them earlier, sometimes you might not see them, but the results will definitely come. So yes, single act of love, it's a seed. You plant it there. Someone will come and reap and harvest. Psychologically speaking, people who have been shown compassion people who have benefited from the random acts of love are more likely to share or extend love to people who are in similar situations the next time they see them. Mm. People who are helped when they are desperate are more likely to help when they see someone who is equally desperate. And the opposite is true. People who were badly treated are more likely to badly treat others. So whatever we do has a ripple effect. If we are good to others, the more we extend this goodness, the more we appreciate. When we see someone who needs that,
yeah,
we do it to them.
Yeah.
So don't look at the at this thing and say, ah, but what can this thing change? I'm not a movie person, but I watched, I know whether to call it a movie or a comedy. It's called Ivan Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy type of how Noah had to build an ark.
Okay.
So they call him the American Noah.
Okay.
And they said about the ark, they said, ark is act of random kindness.
Mm. Okay.
Yes, they said, today we can also build the ark by doing small acts of random kindness. You don't have to be kind to your people or to your friends, or you can just be kind intentionally, deliberately,
yeah,
to anyone who needs that kindness.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, a hug can go a long way.
Yeah.
A listening ear can transform someone's life, and it can teach others to listen more.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I think we can leave it there for today. Thank you so much for coming through. As always, Pastor, I look forward to connecting again tomorrow as we continue on with this lesson. But for today, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.